And welcome back to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'm speaking with William Hartung, who's the author of a new book, Prophets of War, Lockheed Martin and the Making of the Military-Industrial Complex. Thank you for joining us here today on tomorrow will be the 50th anniversary of President Eisenhower's farewell address, where he coined that phrase, the military-industrial complex.
Yes, that's right. Thanks for having me.
And Prophets of War, of course, I must point out, is spelled P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, Prophets of War, Lockheed Martin, and the Making of the Military-Industrial Complex. And what is it about Lockheed Martin that you obviously feel, William Hartung, encapsulates the military-industrial complex?
Well, part of it is just the sheer size. It gets about $30 billion a year in Pentagon contracts, about one out of every $14 the Pentagon hands out for those purposes. It's involved in a much wider range of activities than anything Eisenhower could have imagined, not just making weapons, but they have hired interrogators for Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib. They've sort of run their own foreign policy, doing things like helping reform the justice system in Liberia, helping write the Afghan constitution, recruiting election monitors in the Ukraine and Bosnia. So in addition to their kind of weapons portfolio, they've reached into many other aspects of our lives and our foreign policy of a sort that Eisenhower probably would be very surprised to hear about.
And when Secretary Gates talks about cutting the military budget, $200 billion in this time of austerity, where a lot of people are talking about cutting Social Security, which actually pays for itself, where clearly military spending even though it's sold in the name of jobs, any economist will tell you it's one of the worst multipliers in terms of jobs.
Yes. Well, interesting. The Gates, proposal is a little bit of bait and switch because he's going to take about $100 billion of that, plow it right back into the Pentagon, probably mostly the weapons procurement that will help companies like Lockheed Martin. Then what's left is about 1% or so of the, record level budget. So I think the companies will definitely rally against this and against any further cuts, but they're really getting almost a free ride in terms of the overall budget situation and the kinds of cuts that are being talked about for domestic programs.
Well, it seems extremely coincidental, shall we say, William Hartung, that the minute that Gates started to talk about cutting the defense budget, suddenly there are all these articles in the paper about China's blue water navy and its new ground to sea missile and its stealth fighter. Do you find those stories suspicious?
Well, I think, there's a couple things about them. One, I think they overstate China's actual capabilities. The other thing is, it's sort of the Colin Powell maxim. After the end of the Cold War, he said, I'm running out of enemies here. And I think China is the new enemy that the whole, the Pentagon, the military companies, the military industrial complex, if you will, are sort of hoping for, looking for, to try to justify projects that might otherwise, not make any sense if you're talking about fighting Al-Qaeda or other kinds of threats to the United States.
So what's going on, though, in terms of this sort of zombie-type situation with the military-industrial complex, where once they get a weapon system going, and no matter how flawed it is and no matter how much the cost overruns, they just keep going and going and going, and then they start they just won't stop the production lines. The C-130, I think at one point John McCain said, we could park them as mascots in front of high schools. There's so many of them. The same thing's happening with its replacement, the C-19. It just goes on.
Well, a lot of it is the fault of the Congress, in collusion with the contractors. The C-130, which is a Lockheed Martin product, started in the 50s, and in the last decade or more, most of the ones that have been bought have been added on by the Congress, not requested by the Pentagon. So places like Marietta, Georgia, the Georgia delegation, places where the things are deployed, like in Mississippi and elsewhere, those members are really the ones that have been pushing this. And the Pentagon's attitude is, well, if you're going to give it to us, I guess we'll take it.
So what do you think about the given Eisenhower's prescience 50 years ago in his farewell address? And I think historians would agree that that Eisenhower was furious with what happened with his attempts to end the Cold War with Khrushchev. They were poised to Eisenhower was going to visit the Soviet Union after Khrushchev had visited here, and they'd had a good rapport. And Khrushchev was even building a golf course for Ike down in on the Black Sea. And then the New 2 incident happens and blows it all out of the water. And Eisenhower was furious because the CIA promised him that there'd be no evidence, and suddenly this pilot shows up, and Eisenhower was humiliated, and frankly, Khrushchev was trapped. He couldn't back down, so he had to basically blow up the Paris peace talks, and the Cold War went on for decades more.
Well, the CIA was pushing these flights to some degree with Eisenhower's resistance. He really thought they were too risky, that the possibility of something like the Gary Powers incident outweighed any benefits they could get in terms of intelligence. So I think, partly the fingerprints of the CIA, partly some people around him who gave him bad advice. And, of course, the companies couldn't have been happier because, going too far in terms of a rapprochement or a detente would have undermined things like the missile gap, the bomber gap, all the kind of myths that helped fuel the Kennedy buildup in the early 60s.
So I was going to suggest, though, that as bad as the military-industrial complex has proven, and as much of a drain on the treasury, there's been a whole new layer since Bush and Cheney of this contractor phenomenon, and the privatization of so many government activities, not just in Department of Defense but throughout the entire government. Do you think that given that adjunct to the military-industrial complex, that the tentacles are just so deeply enmeshed that it'll be next to impossible to undo them?
Well, I think the whole use of private contractors like Blackwater, which is now known as ZXE, to try to get away from their history, I guess, the Halliburton examples, the fact that you've got more private contractors working for the CIA than you do government employees, it is pervasive. And I think if it were to be rolled back, it would be a multi-year project, and it would take, a lot of fortitude on the part of a president who really made it a top priority. So I don't foresee it certainly in the short term happening, because you would need to develop the expertise within government that is kind of outsourced to all these other companies. And, of course, some of it is for things that we may not need to do in the first place.
Again, I'm speaking with William Hartung, who's the director of the Arms and Security Initiative at the New America Foundation and the author of this brand new book, Prophets of War, Lockheed Martin and the Making of the Military-Industrial Complex. And we're speaking on the 50th anniversary of President Eisenhower's farewell address in 1960. As you know, William, the pharmaceutical companies have been able to advertise on television, and it has been an enormous boom for them. They advertise all these drugs, Cialis, endlessly. You got these two people in a bathtub. I don't quite follow that, but that's another matter. You've got the phenomenon there. The more they advertise, the more people ask for drugs from their doctors, and it's proven to be tremendously successful. I've also noticed that for the first time ever, these big contractors are now advertising on television, telling us how patriotic they are and how much they care about America's fighting men and women. And it strikes me as being equally as pernicious as the drug companies. And at some point, I'm saying to myself, well, why can't somebody intervene here? They're selling themselves based upon taxpayer money, and I thought that was illegal.
Well, I think they've circumvented it because they argue that, they're not using their government profits to do it. But most of these companies are essentially wards of the state. I mean, Lockheed Martin gets 80 to 90% of its revenue from tax dollars. So it's hard to imagine that this money is not, directly or indirectly coming from there. But I haven't seen, much uproar in the Congress or certainly in the Pentagon about this. And I think if somebody looked closely, it may well be illegal, but I don't think anybody's done any pushback on it. And so the companies, to some degree, they're selling themselves.
Sure. Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time here today. I thank you so much for joining us, William Hartung, again, and for your new book, Prophets of War, Lockheed Martin and the Making of the Military-Industrial Complex.
Thanks very much.
This has been Background Briefing. You may learn more about the program, listen to our archives, and contact me at ianmasters.com. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing, engineer Devin Jordan, and I'll be back with another edition of Background Briefing. Until then, bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared by 9:30.